I have great respect for the Supreme Court, but I surely disagree with the Supreme Court in this particular decision. The decision enhances the controversy about the law, I believe. The legislation, as you know, was sold to Congress and to the people of this country under the false pretense, because the president said that he wasn't going to raise taxes and that this bill didn't raise taxes. So the court today upheld the law, saying that the president's health care law is a tax on every American, regardless of income, unless that American takes action to the government demand of buying health insurance. President Obama fought for and signed into law one of the biggest taxes ever. The court said that while Congress's ability to regulate is limited under the Commerce Clause, its ability to tax is unlimited. So I think this throws it into the arms of the American people. Health care is going to be a very major issue in the presidential election, including its impact on the economy and jobs, which is should be the priority of Congress all along when you have 8 2/10% official unemployment and probably 11 or 12% unofficial unemployment. The court did limit the federal government to one extent by saying that the Medicaid enforcement mechanism was unconstitutional, meaning that President Obama is not going to be able to deliver his promise to make sure that everybody's covered by health insurance, and those that couldn't afford it would be covered by Medicaid. Here, there's no way out for the unconstitutional approach of the president. As a result of this decision, based upon the enforcement of the individual mandate through the tax law, the IRS is going to get a lot bigger, but Medicaid expansion is halted. And I'm ready for questions on any subject. I'll call by name here, according to the way you got on here. Ed Tibbetts.
Hi, Senator. Thanks for doing the call. Do you believe that the mandate is a tax?
I guess no. I considered it a penalty because that's what we were all led to believe by all the Democrats and by the president. It's a tax today because that's what the court said, and I told you I got...
Now attending.
Morton.
Senator, are you still there? I'm sorry, there was some interference. If I might follow up.
Yeah, you follow up.
Just one other question. About the Medicaid provision, and it seems to raise a scenario that it could be that some states will decide to expand Medicaid in their states while other states might not. And I'm curious how you believe that that Iowa should proceed.
Oh, I'm not going to tell Iowa what they should do in regard to their Medicaid. That'd be irresponsible for me, based upon the fact that they have to pay for it. But I think that you're going to find Iowa has been fairly liberal on Medicaid in the past, and will probably be fairly liberal into the future. But that's a decision that the state legislature and the governor has to make, and I wouldn't intend to tell them what they should do. Tim Rohr?
Yes, Senator. Are we surprised about the opinion of Chief Justice John Roberts?
Yeah.
I mean...
I think everybody is.
I mean... The
reason why I'm surprised is, you'd think that he'd be following legislative intent and even presidential intent, and when everybody said this wasn't a tax, then you wonder how he could read a law that was never intended to increase taxes as a tax increase. James Lynch?
Senator, thanks for doing the call.
I wanted to ask you about what the political implications are here, considering we're in the middle of a presidential campaign. Obviously, this is a boost to President Obama, but does it fire up the opposition here that now the Supreme Court hasn't done the job that they were hoping it would do, that now they're going to be more motivated?
Yeah, I think without a doubt, conservatives and Tea Party types are going to be more active, and I would expect them to be. They aren't going to like this law any more than they did in 2009 when several hundred came to my town meetings and things like that. And then the big difference it made in the 2010 election. I think another thing that brings into it, nobody was talking about taxes being increased or the individual mandate increasing taxes. They talked about some other fees and taxes being increased in the bill, but they didn't get the public's attention like the individual mandate did, and the penalty that was with that. That hasn't changed whether you call it a penalty or call it a tax, and so that's going to mean that taxes are going to be highlighted to a greater extent in the presidential election. Susan Lee.
Thank you. I guess I'm curious about the effect on small businesses, Senator. In 2014, if businesses under 50 full-time employees have to still provide coverage, do you anticipate that as having a negative effect on our state?
You're talking about employers over 50,000, or over 50. If you're under 50...
More than 50. My apologies,
yeah.
More than 50.
Oh, yeah. Not only that, but companies that have 49 employees probably aren't going to hire 50 to 60, you know, if they got the capability of doing it. So it's going to hurt employment by small people as well. But yeah, whenever you take capital out of the system and bring it to government, the government doesn't produce wealth. It only consumes wealth. And if you take capital out of the private sector, it's going to limit job creation. Christina Cripps, Kathy, Des Moines Register.
Hi, Senator. Two things really quick, just to clarify, first of all, regarding Medicaid. I think you said that there's no way out for the unconstitutional approach of the president, but in the ruling, Justice Roberts wrote that there was an easy remedy. You basically just make it easy for states to opt out of that, of that requirement, it basically not take the money from the federal government. Is that something that you think that Congress would act on, or
adapt
the rules?
Yeah, I'm sure. Well, there's no way you can get around the court decision that you can't take away money that the Medicaid or the states get through Medicaid right now by the fact that they don't do more that the federal government wants to do. But I suppose what the federal government can do is what the states don't fund, the federal government could fund, if that's your question.
Okay, and talking again about the political implications, up until now we've heard a lot of the focus from Republicans being on repeal for Obamacare, not so much about what it should be replaced with. Do you see any reason why that should change with this ruling?
No, it's going to enhance very much repeal and replace. But I think the details of replacement can't come until we see who the next president is. And obviously, if Obama's elected president, you're going to continue down this road. But if Romney's elected president, then what you repeal and replace it with. But it'd be stupid for Romney to get too detailed about it because he's going to have to deal with the Congress. So all you can do is kind of give some broad outlines. And I think our broad outlines are to repeal and replace and to make sure that we get private sector and free market economy more making decisions. Make sure that we don't have the government between the patient and the doctor, and to make sure that we cut down on costs.
But it keeps the emphasis on repeal.
Yeah.
At least through the election.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
David Pitt.
Yes, sir. That pretty much answered my question, although perhaps I'll follow up with just a question about whether you think it's worthwhile to expend additional political capital and additional expense and resources to fight and try to repeal, you know, now that the Supreme Court has upheld it. I mean, do you think that I mean, a lot of news releases are coming out today saying that's the only option now is repeal. Is it worth the fight still? And I think do you think it'll
Whether I thought it was worth the fight or not, and I do think it's worth the fight based upon principle that if the government's got unlimited power to tax and they can make you purchase anything and put a penalty or a tax on you if you don't purchase it, it seems to me you got the same argument about big government and individual mandates and making people buy things they maybe don't want to buy, whether it comes under the Commerce Clause or whether it comes under the taxing power. Katie at the Clinton Herald?
No questions.
Aaron Murphy?
No further questions. Thanks, Senator.
Jeff Schmidt?
No further questions, Senator.
John Slager? Kay Henderson?
Senator, I'm wondering how, if not everyone is in the pool, insurance companies could be required to have these costly provisions, such as you can't deny someone coverage because of a pre-existing condition, and you allow parents to carry their children up to the age of 26, and some of those other provisions that have proven popular. But the insurance industry says unless everyone is in the pool, they can't afford them. I mean, when you're talking about replace, can you really do anything to replace? Can't you just repeal?
Well, I don't think I can speak for the whole insurance industry, but I have had the capability of reading recently where I think the free market has answered your question already, that a lot of insurance companies have said even if this law is declared unconstitutional that they're going to still continue to cover people with pre-existing conditions. Jennifer Jacobs?
Hey, Senator. So did you say you think this is a victory for Obama? Is there any other way to read that? And then can you talk a little bit more about what you like about this ruling and what you really dislike about it?
I didn't say anything about a victory for Obama. I guess... that I don't like the decision. I like the fact that the Commerce Clause has limits, and it wouldn't have had limits if this court had said that individual mandate was constitutional under the Commerce Clause. But as a practical matter, I don't know that it makes any difference, because if the federal government has unlimited power to tax, and it does, and they tell you you've got to buy insurance, and if you don't buy it, you've got to pay more taxes, is there much choice? The mandate or the power of the federal government is just as strong as ever. And if the power to tax can make you to buy insurance, can they make you buy Chevrolets because government owns 27% of General Motors, and if you don't buy a Chevrolet, you're going to pay a tax? So I don't know whether the end result of big government is any less with the ruling of Roberts than it would be if they had declared the power under the Commerce Clause, except that maybe there's some things that the federal government could do under the Commerce Clause if it was if the individual mandate had been upheld that way, where maybe the federal government can't tax for. But I couldn't think of any example of that right now.
Okay, so if it's not a victory for Obama, what exactly is it?
Well, I didn't say it was a victory or not a victory for Obama. I don't know of any point in my making that judgment, because that's a political decision that I think the electorate's going to decide down the road.
Thanks.
So, bottom line for all of you, because I've gone through the list completely, unless somebody has a follow-up, the only way that the law is constitutional then is by doing what the president denied he was doing. He said he wasn't increasing taxes, that this was an individual mandate under the Commerce Clause, and the penalty wasn't a tax. The court says the president's wrong. A penalty is a tax, and that can make the individual mandate constitutional.
Senator, I just have one other question. Can I ask you?
Yeah.
I'm confused about the Medicaid enforcement mandate being unconstitutional. If we, or if the government is going to fine families for not having coverage, are we leaving a group of people unprotected, or is there something that I'm misreading there?
No, you're leaving a group of people unprotected. 17 million people was the guesstimate 3 years ago. In other words, it was supposed to, the individual mandate, I think, was supposed to cover about 12 million people, and the exchange, and then the 17 million people under Medicaid, and that's where you get about the 30 million people that that it was supposed to bring into the insurance that didn't have coverage.
So under the current decision, we would then tax those families or penalize those families with a tax if they don't have this coverage?
No, you don't. The law would, the health care reform bill would exclude those people from paying the tax.
Thank you.
But they won't have coverage either.
Right. Thank you.
You bet.